For our scripture reading this morning, would you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 4? And I'll be reading verses 2 through 6. Isaiah chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. In that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of the survivors in Israel. Those who are left in Zion, who remain in Jerusalem, will be called holy, all who are recorded among the living in Jerusalem. The Lord will wash away the filth of the women of Zion. He will cleanse the bloodstains from Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and a spirit of fire. Then the Lord will create over all at Mount Zion and over those who are assembled there a cloud of smoke by day and a glow of flaming fire by night. Over all the glory will be a canopy. It will be a shelter and a shade from the heat of the day, and a refuge and hiding place from the storm and the rain.
Thank you. Thank you, dear ones, for your prayers for me a week ago. You can see that he has answered your prayers. Very glad for the help that the Lord gave and continues to give, feeling very well and very thankful that God's brought me this far. Thank you very much for your prayers. You thank God for the answer to your prayers. Don't thank him for the answer to mine, but for the answer to your prayers, because they were used of God to help me. Thank you very much. As we turn to Isaiah again, and of course we filled the service with Isaiah, and you might wonder, well, what will I ever say when I get to Isaiah chapter 6? Because we're not preaching on Isaiah chapter 6. And yet, Isaiah chapter 6 flashes forth again and again in the book of Isaiah. I mean, chapter 12. I'm talking about chapter 12. Chapter 12 flashes forth again and again. And time and again, we're reminded that we understand what Isaiah was talking about better than he did. Isaiah lived in 700 BC. The nation was still struggling with idolatry, not simply hypocrisy and pride and all the things that raise up along with true religion. They were struggling to maintain and establish true religion in a country where many were following in their hearts after false gods. And this was before the Babylonian captivity, when the nation must be taken out of the land and for 70 years must face the judgment of God until the sin of idolatry is killed. And then they come back into the nation and they begin to rebuild and they begin to look forward to the hope that God will bring. But they're in darkness in so many ways still, and mixed, many people believing and many not believing, and some that have returned to rebuild still not in their heart being believers, because there's still that amazing mixture between those that are believers and those that are not, gathered within this company, this body, and they still have that struggle, and it's still going on. And it will be after 500 years of silence that the angels of heaven will say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom God is pleased. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And we have seen that time. And there's a wonderful life of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is to perfectly fulfill the law of God and then die on the cross for sinners and then rise again from the dead, ascend to heaven, gather his people, and send forth his Spirit that their eyes might be opened and their hearts filled with the love of God, and they might know the reality of God, and they might go forward to confront an unbelieving world with a vibrant message of the gospel. Well, you know all about that. You're conscious that you've come to see who the Lord Jesus is. You're conscious that your life has been transformed by the power of the Spirit of God, and these things are alive and real for you. But they were alive in flashes for Isaiah. And he's in a very hostile situation, not at all like what you have. An understanding of people of God, all of whom believe, all of whom love Jesus, all of whom desire to serve God. He's never seen anything like that. It's a hope, it's a yearning, it's something that might come or will come someday, that day, Will it be just before the coming of judgment? What is that day? But Isaiah's moved to speak of that day. And in a number of places, that day is not the day of judgment when God's judgment falls upon the world. That day is the day when God will send forth his Spirit and multitudes. In fact, all the people of God, everybody truly part of the people of God, will have the heart of God, the heart of love that God is promising. And Isaiah can't have a clue of the wonder of that reality, although he sees it. He can't put together, where does the suffering servant fit? The Lord, he was despised and rejected by men, the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What can that mean to Isaiah? How can he understand that? He can understand God coming in glory, but how does it fit with God coming as a struggling servant? Isaiah doesn't understand, but you understand. You see how it works. You see how it's all come together. You're in a wonderfully, you have experienced that day. Isaiah talks about it when he speaks of that day, but it is exactly what you have experienced. Now listen, even as I just read it, because I'm not going to preach on Isaiah 6 yet. Isaiah 12, yeah, I'm going to get to that. But you see, if you don't understand, from a standpoint of one who has trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, to those I speak, those that have been born again by the Spirit of God, do you understand these words? In that day you will say, I praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you've comforted me. Do you see the richness of what that means? Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Do you know what that means? Have you experienced that? You have, haven't you? He has become your salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Is that in your heart, that it might make known among the nations what he has done? Well, that is in your heart. You long for that. And proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel among you. And you that are Christians, don't you feel every word of that? And isn't it something that thrills your heart and makes you thankful? And don't you see what God is talking about? And don't you see how central to everything there is the person of Jesus Christ? Keith Gates slipped the word Jesus Christ into the passage because that's where it is. It's not in Isaiah 12. But it's speaking of Jesus Christ is King. And you know that. And you've experienced that. That's the day that Isaiah is talking about when he says that day. Did Isaiah realize that as much as you do? No. He was trying to figure it out. And ever since, people have been trying to figure out, what did this mean? What was the time that God intended? How he was going to do this? And they tried to bring together what was said of Jesus and put it together in such a way as could anticipate Jesus coming, and they knew somebody was coming. And the one who came, they wondered, is he the one? But they did not understand. Not like you do. If you're a Christian, you understand. You can open the scriptures and see Christ. On the road to Emmaus, Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he talked to them how in Moses, all the prophets, the Psalms, were the things written of him. And remember how the disciples could say how our hearts burned within us as he opened to us the scriptures. And you know what that is. It's wonderful. You've come to see it. You've recognized your own sin. You've realize that the judgment of God upon you is just, and you deserve the everlasting judgment of God. But you've heard the message of mercy that Jesus died on the cross for sinners, and those that believe on him shall have life. They'll not be forgiven, they'll not be condemned. There'll be no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. But you have salvation in Christ, and it fills your heart with joy. And it's right now the reality, as Pastor Reese was emphasizing again and again, right now the reality. And so when Isaiah says that day, that's what he meant. He didn't understand it as well as you do. But there'll be coming a day when the people of God, from the least to the greatest of them, would all be trusting the Lord. Isn't that what Jeremiah will talk about later? Isn't that what Ezekiel will talk about later? Isn't that what will come up later? Looking ahead to that day, the day of the gospel, and you and I are living in that day. That's why it's always called the last days. This is what we're waiting for. We have it now in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know what that is, and that's the wonder of our looking at the passage. We can say we understand this book in many ways better than the writers did because we've seen the fulfillment, we've seen the faithfulness of God through generations for centuries after the word of God was manifest. We've seen the power of the gospel to transform society, to transform our lives, and to make us new people. We've seen it. We understand it. Glory to God. And we worship with joy and thankfulness. Well, that's what we're looking at this morning. Basically, we're going to look at the four verses that were read. And we're going to look first at the branch, then at the survivors, and then it's shelter and shade. Those are the structure. The branch, the survivors, shelter and shade. Because those are the things that are dealt with. But I would suspect that you and I see far more clearly than Isaiah could the wonder of those things. May God grant us his spirit that we will see more clearly than Isaiah the wonder and the blessing of the things that he saw in flashes and pictures and declared to us with power and excitement, but never knew the reality. I mean, personally, in his soul, he would have. But to see the reality of the people of God, loving God and serving him with a united heart, never saw that reality. And you and I have. Well, let's ask God to help us. We're looking at chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. I'll read those again. And we're looking at the framework, the branch, the survivors, shelter, and shade. Listen, follow along as I read. This is chapter 4, beginning with verse 2. In that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of the survivors in Israel. Those who are left in Zion, who remain in Jerusalem, will be called holy. All who are recorded among the living in Jerusalem. The Lord will wash away the filth of the women of Zion. He'll cleanse the bloodstains from Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and spirit of fire. Then the Lord will create over all of Mount Zion and over those who assemble here a cloud of smoke by day and a glow of flaming fire by night. Over all, the glory will be a canopy. It will be a shelter and a shade from the heat of day and a refuge and hiding place from the storm and rain. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the glorious flashes of truth that you entrusted to Isaiah and the gifts of writing that you gave him to record them for us. We thank you for the excitement and the joy and the realities that he displayed. Yet we know he never lived to see the wonder of what you had prophesied. 700 years it would be. Lord, thank you that we have lived to see it. That we have seen the fulfillment of the suffering servant, the fulfillment of the King of Glory, the fulfillment of the high God above and beyond all, the fulfillment of everything Isaiah meant when he said, "Behold your God." We have seen, been partakers in a way beyond what Isaiah could have known. Oh, Lord, thank you for this great mercy. Would you quicken these things in us even as we consider this passage this morning? Help us, Lord. Enlarge our minds. Enlarge our hearts to receive your truth, to be encouraged and blessed. Lord, send your Holy Spirit to this end, we pray. And Lord, if there be any in our midst for whom these things are simply words and they've not yet come to the realization of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Would you be pleased to speak to them this morning? Would you make them to want the reality that's being talked about? Would you make them desire these things for themselves? And Lord, would you bring them to embrace Jesus? Help us all this morning and minister to us, we pray. Great is the Lord and worthy of praise. Help us now, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do you have eyes to see Christ in the scriptures? God opened your eyes. Has the things that we've talked about, have they been real for you? Well, you know, you can use that ability always. You can read anywhere in the scripture and see flashes of Jesus. It's amazing how when Jesus on the road to Emmaus told his disciples of all the things in the Psalms, or in Moses, in all of the prophets, in the Psalms, in all the writings of the scriptures, things relating to him, their hearts burning within them. That can be the case for you. You can see Christ everywhere. He's displayed everywhere. And the more sensitive and full you are of the wonder of who Jesus is, the more you see him everywhere. As you read your Bible, you can see Jesus. Good rule of thumb is, look, any text you turn in, head straight for the cross, and seek to see how Jesus Christ is that. It's amazing. The richness is astonishing. Well, we look here at the subject of the branch, and I have had Pastor Reese include, and asked him to include, in this bulletin, the verses in the Bible that speak of the branch. If I were to preach a short series, I think I would take the verses that speak of the branch and want to preach them one by one. Not that I'm going to give you anything that you couldn't find yourself. Of course, I never give you anything you couldn't find yourself. But you can read these and see the amazing picture of Christ. The branch is capitalized. Who would know to capitalize it? Well, the editors do. They see the branch is speaking of Christ. Well, I want to do, in terms of looking at that, we're looking at the word, the branch, first, and I just want to read all the verses that speak of the branch, and not to discuss them. I'm not going to do any exposition of them. I'm just going to challenge you. See Christ in these passages. See if these do not speak of Christ. And recognize that if any preacher commits himself to a series of preaching on the branch, why, the series will preach itself. But look at that, and look yourself at how Christ is there, how Christ is the branch, and what it says about him. It's wonderful. I'm not going to get into all those things. Look what it says. I'm asking you to turn in your bulletin to the page that talks about the branch, beginning with Isaiah 4:2, and quoting the other verses that speak in that way. Just follow along as I read. In that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of the survivors in Israel. Jeremiah 23:5. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. Jeremiah 33:15-16. In those days, and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will be in safety, will live in safety. This is the name by which he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Zechariah 3:8. Listen, O high priest Joshua, and your associates seated before you, who are men symbolic of things to come. I am going to bring my servant, the branch. Zechariah 6:12-13. Tell him, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Here is the man whose name is the branch, and he will branch out from this place and build the temple of the Lord. It is he who will build the temple of the Lord, and he will be clothed with majesty and will sit and rule on his throne, and he will be priest on his throne, and there will be harmony between the two. And you can understand all this text. King and priest upon the throne, harmony between the two. Isaiah didn't see how that'd be. Zechariah didn't fully see how that would be. But you and I can. There's the term branch. This is what the term branch means. And it's wonderful. And you might take an afternoon to just meditate on each one of those. See what you get as you see this display of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's the one referred to when it says, in that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be pride and glory of the survivors in Israel. Look at the description there of the branch. The fruit of the branch will be the pride and glory of the survivors of Israel. We'll deal with the issue of survivors, but isn't the fruit of the branch glorious? In the little bit that you see within yourself, the fruit of the Spirit coming forth, when you realize the difference between what you once were and what you are now, isn't it glorious? Maybe others don't see it, but you see it. You're not the person you were. You haven't got the desires and the longings that you had. You don't desire those things. You desire something else. There's a fruit in your spirit that is different from what it was before, and it's glorious. And God's begun a work in you, which he's promised that he will continue till the day of the Lord Jesus, and that's glorious. And one day you won't be tied down to the sins and the habits and the other things that embarrass you now, but you'll be free. And the longing to be free is a work of the fruit of the Spirit within you, and isn't it glorious? That he has begun something that will ultimately result in your perfection. And it's glorious to think of. And the fruit of what God is doing in you, wonderful. And Isaiah had a clue of that. Something about the fruit of the branch being glorious. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. And we live by virtue of his life. And it's his life in us that brings forth fruit. And all that that means, but suggested now in what we're looking at, but all that that means, it's glorious. It's beautiful. It's for the pride and glory. Now, are you proud of those things? No, but you're proud of Christ who did them. You're not proud of what you have accomplished. You haven't accomplished it. You're proud of him for having accomplished it in you. And you can see what he's begun to do, and you're proud of him. And you're filled with pride and glory in what Jesus Christ has done. Well, that's one of the things that's going to happen in that day. And Isaiah gets a little glimpse of it. Are there more ramifications of it, more that you could think about? Well, that's what meditating on the word is. Could you think about these things and find more? Could you turn them over in your mind and discover greater depth and greater riches of what's meant by the fact that the pride, that the fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of the survivors in Israel? If the fruit of the land is all the others who have been gathered, and even on a Sunday morning can gather and be under the sound of the gospel, isn't it glorious? That there are other people so different from you, so unlike you in many ways, so interested in things beyond what you're interested in, who have an enthusiasm for something that doesn't even faze you, and yet they all love Jesus Christ. They all are gathered to worship and honor him. Isn't it glorious? Wonderful that God can take people as different as we can be and make us to love and serve the same Savior and delight to know the same God. It's glorious, the fruit that God's brought forth. And aren't we nicer than we used to be many times? Isn't there much about us that not isn't as bad as it was? Now, the people that didn't know us before don't realize what a change there is. But there's a change. And one day they'll realize that that person became that. Glory to God. The fruit's beautiful. And Isaiah gets a glimpse of it. And so he says, in that day the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of the survivors in Israel. Wonderful what will be true in that day. Now what could Isaiah think he meant by the survivors in Israel? One thing that I'm never very confident is the right thing to do is to work very hard to find out what these things meant to those people at that time. Now, I know there's reasons why one ought to be aware of that, but often the people at that time in prophecy had not a clue. So you see what it meant at the time. I think maybe there were things that were a mystery at the time. I think there were things that Isaiah saw and couldn't put together with the times, but was taken outside of the times and seen in a new time. And so as we look at this, as we say the survivors in Israel, well, could that not simply be speaking of those that are still alive when the wrath of God is past? The wrath of God isn't just the day when God destroys all the wicked. It's the day when he abandons people to their sins and leaves them, lets them go. That's the wrath of God is often expressed in simply letting people go. The wrath of God descending and God letting those that do not desire God go. Well, if God's wrath descends in such a way and has descended in such a way, you're a survivor. because you deserve the judgment of God as much as anybody else did. You deserve the abandonment just as much as everybody else did. You deserve to be let go as much as everybody else did. And when God pronounces judgment and lets them go, there are some of us who survive that judgment. And God doesn't let us go. And God keeps us. And is that not standing as a survivor in the midst of a whole society that's gone? Now, of course, we're still in the age of grace, and so we still hope that among those who seem to be under the judgment of God right now, yet some may be awakened, and we can call to some who, in their departing, will hear the call back again and turn and return. And we might be the means of gathering some. But there are many who have faced the judgment of God and been abandoned, and they'll continue in their sin, and they'll never come back from their sin until God has mercy and they open and opens their ears. And you stand as a survivor of the judgment of God upon a society that deserves judgment. Could that be a meaning of the survivors? Certainly in that sense, you're a survivor. It's God's judgment has passed over, and there's some still standing. And you and I are among those. So could that be what the survivors, those that deserve the judgment as much as anyone else, the judgment passes and you still stand. You're not destroyed. You and I are among the survivors. They'll deserve judgment, but they've escaped it. Now, Isaiah doesn't see all the details, doesn't reveal all the details of that, but isn't that a wonderful transaction that God, who has sent judgment already, it's such a mistake to think that the judgment of God will come upon our society. We can look at our society and say, well, we better straighten out or God's judgment will come. Wait a minute. What you're seeing is God's judgment. God's judgment has already come. It's already falling. He's already allowed people to exceed to the point where they'll be judged forever. He's already given them over to their lusts. The judgment's already come. And you haven't fallen in the midst of it? Then you're one of the survivors. We ought not to imagine that we better be good or God will deal with us. No, we're already under the judgment. He that believeth not the Son is condemned already because he's not believed on the name of the Son of God. Already they're condemned. People are not wondering whether they will be condemned in that day. People talk about that so foolishly, as if we wonder whether we will be condemned in that day. And you're talking to somebody who you can look them in the face and realize they're already condemned. Because Jesus said they're already condemned. The judgment of God is already upon them. And you can see by their behavior and by their choices, they've already been given over. Oh, that God might rescue this one that we love, that one that we love. And we do realize it's still the day of grace. But the judgment of God has already passed. And if you're still standing, you're a survivor. Well, that's, I'd suggest, to be something to think about as you meditate on all that God might mean about the survivors. It talks about survivors. It talks about also shelter and shade. And here's a wonderful image that as we sing the last hymn, there'll be a mention of that. What put in the songwriter's mind to put some of the images that they have, some of the hymns that the images help us so much, where did they come from? Well, some of them just came clearly from the scripture. They came clearly from the scriptures. And two of the ones that's a wonderful blessing are from this passage. It talks about the survivors. Then it talks about shelter and shade. Let's go back. Those who are left in Mount Zion, who remain in Jerusalem, will be called holy. All who are recorded among the living in Jerusalem, the Lord will wash away the filth of the women of Zion. He will cleanse the bloodstains from Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and spirit of fire. Then the Lord... Okay. Incidentally, that made me think in terms of the earlier part of Isaiah, speaking of repentance. Because when he talks about what he'll cleanse, it's the lewdness of the women. It's the stubborn rulership that grinds the face of the poor. It's those that God forgives. But when he's forgiven those, the Lord will wash away the filth of the women of Zion. He'll cleanse the bloodstains from Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment, a spirit of fire. Then the Lord will create over all Mount Zion and over those who assemble there a cloud of smoke by day, and a glow of flaming fire by night. Over all the glory will be a canopy. It will be a shelter and a shade from the heat of day, and a refuge and hiding place from the storm and reign. Well, what is he speaking about? He's speaking about the protection that God is to his people. That even in darkness, there's a light that God gives. God gives light in the midst of darkness. Have you ever known that? In the midst of darkness, light. God is light in the Lord. The cloud is there, the overbearing thing that would bring, a cloud would bring darkness beneath, but there's light from the cloud. And we can say, we've known something of that. Yes, it's darkness, but there's light within. God gives us light in the midst of darkness. Haven't you known something like that? Couldn't that be what he's talking about? Couldn't that be included in the image that the cloud is there, but there's light under the cloud because of the presence of the Lord? Could that be what he's talking about? A cloud of smoke by day, glow of flaming fire by night. Over all, the glory will be a canopy. This that is over... Ye fearful saints, fetch courage, take the clouds you so much dread, are big with mercy and will break with blessings on your head. Doesn't that bless your heart as you sing that? The cloud you so much dread is big with mercy and will break with blessing on your head. Well, those images come from this hymn writer. Where did he get them? Got them from the scriptures. Here's the cloud, the smoke by day. Glow of flaming fire by night, over all the glory will be a canopy, a shelter and shade. It's a shade. It's a shade. The beating down of the sun that would destroy me, there's shelter from that. The thing that would crush me, there's shelter in Jesus. And you feel that. You feel that in the darkness, he is light. You feel that in the beating down of the pressures of the world, he's a shelter. And you run to him for a shelter. Doesn't that bring together many other images? Doesn't the psalmist fill with that? Isn't it coming out again and again in the scripture? These images that picture the wonder of what God is for his people. Well, those are done, and Isaiah says that. And I would suggest you meditate. That's what meditation's for. You meditate on how those things apply to you and how those pictures bring blessing to your heart and how all of them point you to Christ. It's a way of getting from the Bible all that's there. Chew it. Meditate upon it. Masticate. Bring it to light. Bring it to mind. Get from it all that's there. And I'm giving you a few suggestions with regard to it. And they're wonderful, it seems to me. Well, a shelter and a shade. God is a shelter and a shade. He's a hiding place. And don't you find Jesus to be your hiding place? There's times when you run to him and are secure. The world's against you. Run to him and you're safe. Well, you know that. You've experienced that. I remember from the beginning, I'm talking about Christians, those that have been born again by the Spirit of God. Wonderful to be a Christian. Wonderful to have what God's given to Christians, not just what he will give one day, what he's already given, because that day has come. What a wonderful thing it is. Do you have that, dear ones? All of you? All the ages? Everybody? Know God in that way? God really is your help, your strength, the one you run to when you're afraid? Do you have that? Or is it just talk about religion that doesn't mean anything? Do you just wait till the sermon's over? Or is there something there that's you? Well, God wants it to be you, and that's why you're here today, to have somebody tell you that. That's what you need. That's what God is. And Isaiah sees it, and he connects it with that day, which is the day of salvation. The day when the gospel goes forth in power, and people begin to be gathered from tribes and kindreds of all nations to worship at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if you're a Christian this morning, rejoice in him. What a wonderful opportunity in the taking of the Lord's Supper that I can receive Christ to myself. Now, we know that there's no magic in the elements, that there isn't Christ sort of imbued in the elements so that even an unbeliever can take it and he can somehow get something from it. We know that's not the case. What you get from the scriptures, what you get from the element is as you mix with faith that which you do. Can you do that today? Are you a born-again Christian? And when you partake of the Lord's Supper, can you realize by faith that this pictures Jesus and what he is for you? Can this be a picture of what Jesus is for you? Can you in that way take Jesus to yourself as you partake of the table of the Lord? Well, that's God's design in the table, and it's wonderful. And if you haven't got that, if you've never seen the reality of this, don't be embarrassed that you let it pass by. Why play games? If you haven't got it, let it go by. And let it preach to you that you need what it speaks of. It's not bad to not take the Lord's Supper. Some people are visiting a place and they'd be embarrassed what people would think. That's so silly. It doesn't matter what people think. What you need to do is have the reality. And if you've got that reality, then this is the table of the Lord and you're welcome to it. And so with the cup, do you understand the reality of that? You don't get any magic from it. We haven't prayed over the cup as if it's got a power in itself. It doesn't have a power in itself. But as you partake of it, can you realize that Jesus died, shed his blood for you? That was what was for him a cup of cursing that he prayed, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but thy be done. When he prayed that, for him it was a cup of cursing. But can you take it as for yourself a cup of blessing? You lift up the cup of salvation, call on the name of the Lord. Is it a joyful time for you because it was a bitter time for him? Is that real to you in any way? Is there any understanding of that? Well, if there's any understanding of that, that's who the table of the Lord is for. And that's how it's of value. And God can help us even in the partaking right now to partake of Christ. May God help us to do that. We do welcome you. If you're a Christian who has made a public profession of faith, we welcome you to this table. It's his table, and he calls you to it. If you're not, then let it preach to you and have dealings with God and come to where you know the reality of which we have spoken so much today. Let me read the verses one more time. There are many things more in it than I have seen, but let's read it one more time and then pray. In that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of the survivors in Israel. Those who are left in Zion will remain in Jerusalem, will be called holy, all who are recorded among the living in Jerusalem. The Lord will wash away the filth of the women of Zion. He will cleanse the blood stains from Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and a spirit of fire. Then the Lord will create over all of Mount Zion and over all those who assemble there a cloud of smoke by day and a glow of flaming fire by night. Over all the glory will be a canopy. It will be a shelter and shade from the heat of the day and a refuge and hiding place from the storm and rain. Let's pray. Our great God, we thank you for the wonderful pictures that you showed to Isaiah. Wonderful excitement with the beauty of the things that for him were not yet manifest. He could look ahead to that day. Thank you that we can look back to that day and realize that that day you launched a kingdom that will have no end. You launched a kingdom that will cover the whole wide earth, and multitudes will be there. And they will partake of the same Spirit, the same God, the same Savior. Oh Lord, thank you that you've made us such. Thank you that we can remember you at this table, that the elements are significant to us, and we can by faith partake of Jesus even as we partake of these things. Grant us grace, Lord, to remember the Lord at his table, and bless us. If there are those that don't know Christ here, Lord, would you open their eyes? Would you make them want Christ? Would you bring them to yourself? We pray your blessing, and we are very thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.